Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from the gospel lesson. I'm going to read verse 31 from the King James Version. Jesus said unto them, "Come apart into a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as much as to eat." Come apart before you come apart. That's the title of the message for today. While the message, I hope, is original, I want to tell you up front that the title for the message is not. I borrowed it from a well-known preacher who was born way back in 1901, just south of Hickory, North Carolina, a little community known as Jugtown, North Carolina. He lived into the year 1986. He was 85 years when he died. He was an old Baptist preacher. His name was Vance Hafner. And Billy Graham in the 1950s said that Vance Hafner, in his sermons, many of which were published, is quoted more often by preachers in America than any other preacher in the United States. Billy Graham said that if you ever heard him preach in person, you never forgot the man, and you certainly did not forget the message. He said that with his humorous one-liners, sometimes he could make people laugh while also piercing their souls with the Word of God. He was a great gift to the church. You can still listen to his sermons by the miracle of the internet today. But he preached a sermon, and because he was reading his text out of this King James Version, it's translated a little differently, not like the English Standard Version that says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place." The King James says, "Come apart to a deserted place and rest for a while." Jesus' invitation to the disciples after they had just gotten back from that exhilarating experience, but no doubt tiring experience also, of their first missionary journey. You know, when he titled his sermon that, he had a colloquialism in his mind that was very popular in those days. I remember hearing it sometimes when I was growing up. Maybe it's not used so much today as it was in times past, but have you ever heard somebody say in the midst of their frustration and anguish, "I'm coming apart at the seams"? You know, today people say, "I'm coming unhinged." Or they might say, "I'm coming unglued." Or that I'm in a state of intrepidation. You know, even if you've never heard the saying, you may have had the experience that you had on a pair of pants, especially gentlemen, that were really kind of worn out and been washed many times, and you go to step in the car and the pants split, you know, from one side to the other. Well, human experience of life can sometimes be like that too. And what he hears Jesus saying to his disciples who were weary from the arduous task of ministry is, "Come by yourselves to with me to a deserted place." I mean, they had been so busy that they couldn't even find a time to eat. And so they get in the boat, and that is their plan, to cross the Sea of Galilee at the very northern end. But you see, this was the popularity of Jesus. Jesus, who was becoming so well known because of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, as Jeremiah would point to him in the Old Testament lesson today, he is our righteousness. People didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't text one another, "Guess what? Jesus is going to be pulling in at such and such a port." Like many people, unfortunately, today who call themselves Christians and yet are not that excited about going to church or ever gathering together for a Bible study or spending time in the Lord in prayer. They're kind of like the rich young ruler, so eager to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that they ran there on foot as fast as they could. And when Jesus gets out of the boat, all the plans that he had had for this little retreat for himself and his disciples seem to be cast, at least momentarily, by the wayside. Because Jesus saw all these people who were hurting and broken. And Mark tells us that he had compassion on them, Jesus' own words. Mark says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us your humble dwelling, all your faithful mercies crown. Jesus, you are all compassion, the hymn writer says. Come and dwell within us. So isn't that what you're doing again this morning, so many of you? You've decided to leave all the other concerns and cares and worries and life and frustration behind you, and you've come here to be in the presence of God at his own invitation, the risen Jesus, who says that wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, that's where you'll find me. The Jesus who says, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Because whatever it is that we're up against in life, we're like those disciples who, when Jesus said, give them something to eat, we forget that there's one variable in life that we so often greatly underestimate, that the God who's revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes and makes himself known to us. Why, he is as close to us as our very breath. Paul says his fullness fills all things in heaven and earth. Yes, Jesus is in heaven, but Jesus is also here. Paul was so confident that Jesus Christ lived inside of him. He said one day, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know, you might think it's a little oversimplistic, the analogy, but I heard it once and I thought it was meaningful to me. Somebody said, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, probably is a duck. And some people say if it looks like a fish and it swims like a fish, it's a fish, probably, but not necessarily. Because whales, you know, are not really fish, they're mammals. They're not cold-blooded like fish are. They do not breathe through gills the way that fish do. That whales have to come every so often to the very surface of the top of the ocean, and they have to blow out through that blowhole all the bad stuff. Kind of reminds me of when we come to church and we confess our sins. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What other friend do you and I have that says, come to me and throw all the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment? The responsibility for all of our sins, Jesus says he's going to take that all away from us again. It's like the whale that has to go to the surface and then breathe in a gigantic bunch of new life, as the church does whenever the church is truly the church. I've come, he said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I did read that there are some whales that are known to be able to take one big gulp of air and somehow stay underneath the sea for 90 minutes. That's very unusual. But how can you be a Christian, really, and live the kind of victorious life that God wants us to live if we never take time to be in God's presence? So can you see the title of the sermon, Come Apart from Everything Else, much of which is important and necessary, but come apart before you come apart. And isn't that the wonderful thing about being together in corporate worship? I mean, the Bible tells us individually, you and me, you the same as me, rejoice in the Lord always. But it's so much easier to do when we're in the company of other believers, aren't we? And Jesus knows how weak our faith is, and so he tells us to come together and to be a part of him in the church. You can drive your car for a long time, but what if you never stopped in for a filling station to get a fill-up of gasoline? You might say I'm being oversimplistic, but sometimes I am in July. What a wonderful filling station God has provided for us here as we come and feast on the bread of life. I hope we do feel different sometimes when we leave the house of God on a Sunday morning, because Christ is present. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. Wherever Christ is preached, Christ is present. There's something about hearing the word of God proclaimed publicly, reading the scriptures together, celebrating the Holy Supper, that when we leave here, we remember once again what we so often forget is that God is the one who's in charge. You know, I gave careful consideration, come apart before you come apart, and in the New Testament, there are three things that are promised to us when we do come apart and spend time with the Lord, not only here at church, of course, but also privately at home, that when we spend time very conscientiously in the presence of the Lord, Paul says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, that then we'll be able to discern far more clearly what the will of God is for each of our lives. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable God. No longer be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed through the renewal of your mind, and then you will know what the will of the Lord is, his good and perfect will, Paul says. The second thing that happens when we take out time to spend time with the Lord and come together as his people around the word and the sacraments is that then in time our prayers become much more conversational with God. We can talk to him as we talk to one another. Our prayers become less of an endless shopping list that we present to God of all the things we want to do for him, that we want him to do for us and do for us now. The third thing, of course, is that we become much more sensitive to the needs of other people around us. But you can't give to somebody else something that you don't, first of all, have for yourself. And that's why when God is speaking to Pastor Timothy through St. Paul, St. Paul was telling the young pastor, I want you to work hard at being a pastor, Timothy. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. But he also says, as important it is as a pastor that you take time to minister to other people, you have to take a lot of time to just to be one-on-one in a relationship with me. You can't neglect the welfare of your own soul if you're a pastor, because pastors that are not well-fed will feed on the sheep. That's not a good thing. Whatever it is, you can't give to anybody else until you have it for yourself. And so I thought I might close by making one more analogy. As I was dropping Lisa off at the airport, she arranged a 5 o'clock a.m. flight, best fare. I saw the Delta plane sitting out there that was going to take her to Atlanta. It was supposed to get her to Toledo, Ohio, where our nephew got married yesterday. She was supposed to get there, I think, at 12 o'clock p.m., something like that. But the plane, of course, in Atlanta was held up and didn't get there till closer to 3, but that was okay. But I was thinking, every time anybody's ever aboarded a commercial airline and you're getting ready to take a trip on an airplane, that after everybody has put their overhead bags in the bin up above their heads, or maybe put things under the passenger seat in front of them, that the airline flight attendant then gives a set of instructions about, here are the emergency doors. There's two in the middle of the plane, two at the front of the plane. But then I think it's even sometimes while the plane is taxiing, right before it takes off, she gives you a visible demonstration of those oxygen masks that drop down from the bin over your head, she said, in case the cabin loses its pressure. And then there's the question, if you're traveling with a child, whose oxygen mask do you put on first? Do you help the child? Do you put your own mask on, or do you help the child? And of course, you may know the answer is you have to put your mask on first, because unless you're breathing properly, you're not going to be able to minister to the children. And it's just another instance that God calls us to be spiritually fed through faithful worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Susanna Wesley, she was the mother of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. She had 10 children, and yet her two sons, Charles, who wrote so many great hymns, the Wesley brothers said, Mom sometimes would always find some way to get to a room in our house every day where she could have some time alone with her God so that she could be the best mother she could be. And Charles Wesley said he remembers sometimes when there was no rooms available, in the middle of the day, she would take her apron and pull it up over her head and create a little private space for her to be alone with the Lord then and there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, for it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of the pasture and the people of his hand. Jesus is our righteousness. And that makes all the difference in the world. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. No matter what happens, Jesus is our righteousness. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.